So we're here on Daf Chesamid Beis, and we started with Meisve on Taf, and this Braisa indicated that they started the din with three judges, which is called Tavo Mamon. You'll see that on the top line of Daf Chesamid Beis, Tavo Mamon. And then, at a second stage, there was Tavo Nefashos, which you'll see on the second line, which means the following. Initially, the husband comes into Beis Din, and he has no witnesses. Why is he coming into Beis Din if he doesn't have witnesses? He wants to be Mafsid HaLeksuba. And we have a rule. This is based on a Gemara in the first parak of Ksubis, that he's believed to say Pesach Pasuach Matzasi. He's believed to say that he found her after the chuppah, when he consummated the marriage, he found her to be a ba'ula. Hence, he wants to be Mafsid HaLeksuba. Again, there are all sorts of complicated issues about why he's believed and to what extent is he believed. But let's just say it in the most superficial, simple way, for our purposes here, that because he spent so much money on the wedding, we don't assume that he would ruin everything unless he was being honest about it. And therefore, instead of collecting a ksuba, which would be Masayim Zuz as a basula, so she'll be lucky if she gets half that amount, if we believe her. And in order to determine and issue a ruling on this case, we need three judges, no more, because this is classic Dine Mamonos. And then, according to this Tosef, this Braisa, in the second stage, all of a sudden, he subpoenas Edim into court. And at that point, the entire nature of the case changes. It's upgraded to a capital case, because if indeed two witnesses could testify that she had this relationship with another man during the Erusin, during that 12-month period between Erusin and Nisuin, then she's put to death. And then we're going to jack up the court to 23 judges. So the Gemara says that, I'll get back to Rav in a minute, let's just fast forward to Ula. Ula was the one who said, and that was the first interpretation, that the Chachamim require Motzi Shemra, 23 judges, because of Chayshin Lelaz. As we explained last week, Chayshin Lelaz means that we have to anticipate from the get-go the possibility that Eden will show up. Laz, Rashi interprets as Kol. The rumor goes out that she had this relationship, and now Eden realize what's going on over here. They get their act together, and they come rushing into Beis Din, so to speak, with a testimony. So the Chachamim hold that rather than wait until that happens, we want to already start the Beis Din, start the Diyun in the court with 23 judges. Because, you know, if you start with three and then you have to add another 20 judges because Adam came in, then it's not gonna go smoothly. Again, what does it mean it won't go smoothly? There are various interpretations of that. Some say that the fact that they added judges casts a little bit of a suspicion about the status of the first three judges. All of a sudden the spectators are talking, schmoozing, wondering why do they have to add judges. Another interpretation is that maybe it's going to fall between the cracks and they won't be able to get the other 20 judges, so they'll never actually rule in this case of a capital crime, and the Torah says Ubiarta Harami Kerbecha. But whatever it is, according to the Chachamim, we begin this judgment in Ula's interpretation with how many judges? 23, despite the fact that he has no witnesses. The Chayshinon is that we're afraid that witnesses will come in. Now this Braisa is authored by the Chachamim. How do I see that? The opening line, which is on the top of Amud Beis here, the Chachamim Omrim. So according to Ula, we don't understand how this is possible. How could the Chachamim speak about the fact that he, the husband, came into Beis Din with a claim to be Mafsid HaLeksuba, so therefore we convene a Beis Din of three judges? That's not so. According to Ula, the Yisoda Yisodas of the Chacham is that we can't start with 33, we've got to start immediately with 23. So this whole mitzvah of starting a case with 3 is a little bit difficult. However, according to Rava, Rava had a different interpretation of the Chachamim. According to Rava, lo chayshina, the Rabbanan are not afraid of Edim coming in, but rather what happens is that initially they started the judgment with 23 judges. Then the question is, can we go down to 3 judges? And the Chachamim, according to Rava, have a principle called Choshen Lechvodam Shel Rishonim. Now that since we started at one point with 23 judges, and we sent home, you know, let's say we sent home 20 out of 23, and the reason for that is because the Baal was not successful with his Edim. The Edim turned out to be disqualified; they were unreliable. And now at least we want to get a judgment on the Knas, you know, the Me'asah, because again, what the father has a right to do now, if the witnesses of the Baal were disqualified, he has a right now to sue the husband, his so called son in law. Oh, my boy, his son-in-law, right? And sue him for knas. Now, at this point, the father says, you know, leave me with 3 judges so I can sue him for the knas. And the Chacham say, well, you know what? We're not going to do that. Why? Because since we originally convened the Beis Din of 23 judges, if we're now going to reduce the court to 3 judges, that's Chayshina Lekvodim Shel Rishonim. What's it going to look like that they sent home 20 out of the 23 judges? It looks a little bit suspicious. So now when we get to this Braisa here on the Ches Amid Beis, according to this last interpretation of Rava, we can understand what's going on here. Why? Because in the Chachamim's frame of reference, the whole problem of Choshen Lechvodim Shel Rishonim, and the reason why we insist on 23 judges, whereas Rameir says it's okay with 3 judges, is because we initially had convened the Beis Din of 23 judges, and now the father turns around and he says that after the witnesses were disqualified, now he wants to be Tovea Momo and he wants to collect his knas. And he insists that we adjudicate this case with 3 judges. At that point, the Chacham say, no, we need 23 judges. So there are 2 kinds of tviyos over here. There's a tviyah of nefashos, and that means that we assumed from the get-go that the Baal had Edim, and those Edim would qualify, and therefore we need 23 judges. And then when we find out that the Edim of the Baal are disqualified, at that point, you might think, and that's what Rabbi Meir Shittu, we could drop down to 3 judges just to sue the Baal for Otsar Shemra. And therefore that it would be enough to have 3 judges. Say the Chacham, no, Choshin Lekvodom Shel Rishon. But according to Ula Kasha, so that's where we're up to for this week. Omar Rava. So if everybody can find the place where I think it's 5 lines down from the top. Let's count it: 1, 2, 3, 5 lines down from the top. Omar Rava. Yeah. Omar Rava. Niva Ribisheba Chabura. Me together with the outstanding member of our group of scholars, who's the Ari? Ari is the lion. You know, he's the king of all of our chachamim. Tigumei in the Gemara explains exactly who that is. Umanu, Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. So now we have a joint proposition here to reinterpret this braisa by both Rava and Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Hachamai askinan here. What are we talking about? Shehevi habal edim shezinsa. Vehevi ha'av edim vehizimum li edei habal. So before we mentioned that the witnesses that were brought by the Baal were disqualified, but we didn't say exactly how they were disqualified because we didn't know this Gemara of Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Now we know, we're very smart, that how do they disqualify the witnesses of the husband? They determined that they were Edim Zomim. In other words, the father brought in another pair of Edim to counter the first pair of Edim and say well, you couldn't have been there to see this woman had that this woman had that relationship and stuff on such a date and such a time, because at that date and that time you were with us in a different place. And the Torah says we believe the second pair of Edim, that's called the Mazimim, mm-hmm. and the first pair of Edim become Edim Zomimim. And not only do we disqualify them, it's a lot worse than that. They now become subject to the same punishment that they tried to mete out, in this case to the woman, and that's called Ve'asisim lo kasha zomim lasos liochiv. And therefore they would get skila, just like they wanted to give to the husband. Now, boligvos momon, so the moment that the hazoma process comes to its fruition, which means that the father had brought two witnesses against the witnesses of the husband, and they were mazim and said imono yisin to the first pair, to the witnesses of the husband. At that point, we now have a monetary case. We're finished with the nefashos aspect of it, and again, if everything fits into place, there's going to be a situation where the two witnesses who testified on behalf of the Baal that this woman committed a znus relationship as an ashes, they'll be put to death because of the kasha zoma. But let's say that's all finito, that's all behind us. Now the father, this is a classic motzi shemra scenario, he now sues the Baal. So that's called Baal Ligvos Mamon Min Baal. That's what the opening line of our Brisa is referring to when it says Tovo Mamon. The Tovo Mamon is referring to the father, who is now being Tovea, his son-in-law Mamon. And here, in this case, we have no reason to even suspect that Edom will come. Why? Because the Edom that were brought in by the Baal were false Edom. That's exactly why the Baal is going to be sued now as a Motzi Shemra, because again, I don't know what kind of price he was offering these Edom, you know, to perjure themselves, but in any event, he definitely was guilty. So in this case, we don't really believe that more Edom are going to come. That's virtually impossible, because the Baal brought in his Edom and they were false Edom. They were Edom Zomim, as it turns out. But nevertheless, the Chachamim say that we're not going to reduce the number of judges on the court in this situation from 23 down to 3, but umakom nefashos, the esrim v'shlosha. In other words, that since the Baal had initially claimed that she had znus, and now the edim that the Baal adduced were found to be zomimim, and at this point the amount of judges on the court, once the Baal initially came in with his taina, was 23 judges, because he claimed he had witnesses. Okay, we found the witnesses to be Edom Zomimim, and now the Mishnah said, the Braisa says Tovo Mama. At this point, the father turns to the Beis Din and says, well, his Edom was Zomimim, I proved that with my Edom, and therefore he has to pay me, I want to sue him for the Knas. And I need three judges to adjudicate that case. And the Chachamim say, no, we're not going to do it with three judges, we're going to maintain the original court of 23 judges. Now again, when I say the original court of 23 judges, I don't want to tell you this because it's only going to confuse you, but this is a gigantic controversy amongst the Rishonim. Some Rishonim think that the Chacham say we have to have a court of 23, but it doesn't matter if it's the original 23 or not. And again, keep in mind the Gemara is trying to defend the Ula, right? Ula, if you remember Ula, he didn't mention Choshen L'Chvodim Shel Rishonim. That was only Rava. So this Gemara here is according to Ula, and Ula is going to maintain that we need a court of 23 judges. Does it have to be the original 23 judges, as I told you before? If we'd have time for that, or if you want to come on at 10:30 one morning, we can discuss this. That's a real sugya unto itself, a great controversy. So Baal Ligvos Mamon Min Baal. Now the father has successfully brought in two Edim HaMazimim against the Baal, against the Baal's Edim, and now after succeeding in that round, he wants another round of being Tovea Knas Minaba, and therefore Rabbi Meir is going to say, well, shlosha dayanim. I mean, it's enough to have three dayanim. Ubimakom nefashos b'yesimu shlosha. In other words, in the case where the Mishnah spoke about, the Mishnah says that when he came in, the husband, to Taina, that she was a mezana, and if you want to be mafsa the ksuba, we're afraid that Edim will come down the line. And therefore we need 23. But our Bryce is talking about a case where the Baal in fact did bring Edim, and those Edim turned out to be what? Zalman. Therefore we're not afraid that there'll be another pair of Edim. So if you go like Ula, and Ula's understanding the Evan Pinah, you know, the underlying fundamental principle of the Chacham is that we're afraid Edom will come in, therefore we have to maintain 23 judges. That doesn't apply in the case of the Braisa, because Hachamai Askinah, the Braisa is talking about a case where the Baal in fact did bring Edom, the father brought a second pair of Edom, and they were Mazin the first pair of Edom. In such a scenario, we don't believe that there is that there's a possibility that Edom will come in. And if that be the case, then the whole Chayshina Lelaz principle falls out, and therefore we can judge this case with three judges, even according to Chachamim. So there's a difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the Baal came in and he said, I want to be Mafsid HaLiksuva, I don't have any Edim. And the Rabbanan say, let's get together 23 judges because Chayshina Lelaz, we're afraid that Edim will come in. But our Braisa is talking about a case of Tavo Mamon, which means that in a case where the father is tovei mamon because he brought in edim mazimim against the testimony of the father of the husband, and therefore those edim turned out to be zomimim, in such a case then we could have shlosh. It's only in the case of dini nefashis that we'll require 23. Now, this, yeah, go ahead.
Earlier in this year, you said you start with three, you go to 23, it may reflect badly on the three. And in the second part, you said we'll go with 23, but then if you go down to three, it can reflect badly on the 20.
Right, the difference is whether it was hazam or not.
Right.
In the first case, which is the case in the Mishnah, there was no hazam. So if there was no Azama, even though the Baal's claim is only monetary to be Mafsid HaLiksuva, we're afraid that Edom could come. The question is, Jerry, are you referring to Rav or to Ula? I think you're referring to Rav and I'm referring to Ula. That's maybe... Let's go through step by step. If we go with Ula, Ula is saying that even though the initial claim of the father, the initial claim of the husband was, I have no Edim, but believe me, trust me, and I want to be Mafsid of the Ksuba. Nevertheless, the Chacham required 23 judges, says Ula, because Chayshina Lelaz, we're afraid that Edim will come in, and that all of a sudden, what happened to these three judges? All of a sudden, we're adding judges. The Bryce, on the other hand, according to Ula, is talking about a case where we started with 23 judges, and that's because the Baal, in fact, brought witnesses to support his claim that she had Znus. And subsequently, the father brought in Edom HaMazimim. At this point, we're not afraid that there are no more Edom on the face of the earth at this point. And now if the father turns around and says, I want a new round with a new tvia for Knas, then that's called Tavo Mamon B'Shlosha. That even the Chachamim will say that Tavo Mamon B'Shlosha. So again, you follow what happened in the Gemara's logic. The Gemara thought initially that there's no way we can justify this price according to Ula, because Ula and the Chacham say we must start the judgment even when the husband comes in and all he claims is Hefsek Suba, we have to start with 23 judges, anticipating that the Kol, the Laz, and the Edom will come. So how could the Braisa possibly say, quote, Tavu Mamon B'Shlosha? There's no such thing as Tavu Mamon B'Shlosha according to Ula and Chacham. The answer is there is Tavu Mamon B'Shlosha. But that's only after we finish with the Dini Nefashos. The father's Edim testified against the Baal's Edim that they were Zomimim. We no longer believe that they're Edim on the face of the earth. When the father now turns around and he wants to sue him and make him pay the Knas, then all we need is three judges. And that's fine. Because again, we're going according to Ula now. Ula doesn't operate with Kvodam Shel Rishonim. Ula is operating with the fact that we're going to have to add judges. Well, in this case, we won't have to add judges. There are no more Edom. The whole parasha of Edom is dead and buried. Now we go to Rav. Rav is saying something else. Rav is saying that once you have 23 judges, then you cannot lower the number of judges because then it's Chayshin and Lekvodam Shel Rishonim. The judges that you sent home will look in a disparaging light. You know, it looks like, why did you send them home? So therefore, according to Rava, the way to interpret this price is much simpler. You don't have to be so complicated about it. What it means is Tavo Mamid Bishlosha. And what happens here is that's the Gemara saying Bishlema. Let's read the Gemara one more time. Bishlema L'Rava. Again, if you have that Girsa L'Rava, there's another Girsa L'Rava. He says Tavo Mamid Tchila. Now the Baal said he had no witnesses, and Bishlosha. So we're going to judge the case with three. That's not a problem for Rava, because Rava and Chachamim agree that if you haven't gathered together 23 judges, there's no problem. You could start with three judges because the Baal doesn't have any Eidim. But then it says Tovu Nefashas Tchila. In this case, what happened was the Baal said he had Eidim, and therefore we had to judge the case with 23 judges. Says Rav and the Chacham, we can't send home those judges. And it means even if the case will now, you know, turn around into a pure Mammon case, and there are no Edom to be found, we still, once we gather together the 23 judges based on the claim of the husband that he has Edom, we're not allowed to let them go. So I hope that's clear. Now Rabosai, we're about to start a sugya which I call, I give it my own name here, and that is Hilchas Edus. Where, in what Masechta and what Daf in Shas do we find an investigation of the laws of Edus? What I mean to say is that how many Edom do we need, and what do they have to testify, and in a criminal case, what kind of Hasra do they have to give? And if you have to answer that question, the answer is right here in Sanhedrin Daf Ches Amud Beis. Because the Gemara now is going to offer another four possible explanations for the Machlokas Chachom and Rav Meir. We already had two. We had Ula and we had Rav. Now we're going to have another four. What's common to the other four is that the Machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachomim are in the laws of Edus. Now I have to add one more introduction. The Kabbalas Edus is Bishlosha. What does that mean? That in Dini Nefashos, the possibility, I'm not saying it always will work like this, but the possibility could exist that the Edim will be accepted, even in a capital case, by three judges. What does it mean that it'll be accepted? They'll interrogate the Edim. And once they find that there's enough reason to go on to the next level, meaning that these Edom have fulfilled, you know, we'll have a checklist and we'll go through the checklist and everything checks out, at that point we'll add 20 judges to the court and it becomes a Dine Nefashos. So therefore, Abaye Omar Dekuli Alma Chayshinan Lelaz Umishum Kvodam Shel Rishonim. So I'll say, honestly, I don't have the kochus now to explain that line in the Gemara, yeah. Because this is like a major undertaking. In fact, some of the Rishonim are going to say that it wasn't even there in the Gemara, or whatever else. It's not clear why. See, Abaye really wanted to show that the issues that were mentioned as critical, both in Ula's interpretation of Machlokas Rav Meir Chachamim and in that of Rava, are not relevant anymore. There was no debate about it. Do you follow? He just wants to clear the air here and pave the way for his interpretation of Machlokas Rav Meir Chachamim and to get rid of all the sticky issues and thorny issues that were mentioned by Ula and Rava respectively. But exactly why he had to say, quote, Kuli Alma Chayshina Lalaz or Mishum Kodem Shom Shom. That's not at all clear. He could have equally said the other way around. Kuli Alma Lo Chayshina Lalaz V'Lo Chayshina Kodem Shom Shom. So again, that's I don't know if I have the energy for this. It's mamish, a major undertaking. Maybe if maybe tomorrow, I don't know. But what is the machlokas now going to abide between Rabbi Meir Chachamim? The Hochamai Askinim, what's the machlokas? Kigon di Asru Bei Stam. So again, what happens here is the following. Two witnesses come in. They were subpoenaed to Beis Din by the Baal. They're testifying on his behalf to support his claim that she has had his nus. And now the judges, three of them, will investigate the Eidim. And according to Abai, the first question they're going to ask the Eidim is, did you give a Hasra? Why is that question so critical? Because in a capital case, there's no such thing as condemning a criminal to death without Hasra. Now, that's something that's absolutely, we say in Yiddish, upgrade. No, there's no issue about that. So, why is there a machlokas here about Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Let me explain to you what I mean. If the Eidim, when they stand in front of these three judges, they say, look, we didn't give him Asra, so ball game over. I mean, that's it. So why would there be a machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Says Abaye, the Asru Beistam. Now, how many different kinds of capital punishments are there?
Four,
right? There are four Mises Bezdin. And then there's something called Stam. So here's going to be the question, if you want to jot this down. Is it A or B? A is that all the witnesses have to say to the potential criminal is, you're going to get put to death. B, that's not enough. The Hasra has to be very pinpointed, very gory and specific. You have to tell them which of the four Mises Bezdin is going to be their crime. So here's the machlokas between Rabbi Meir Chachom according to Abai. Kigol di Asru Bei Stam. Stam means they didn't mention which particular Misa, whether it be Skila and so forth and so on. So Rabbi Meir says that, you know what, at this point we have to throw the case out of court. We're not even going to invite another 20 judges because it's an exercise of futility. If the Eidim from the get-go admit that they didn't give a specific Hasra and tell this woman before she committed this act of adultery that she would be Chayv Skila, then there's no way that this could be a capital crime. Hence Rabbi Meir says, let's just end here and we'll go on and see if we can determine the dini mamonis, whether the hefsek suba, maybe it's the knas. You know, you have to know the din, right? Just one more second. The haitan. Oh, okay. We'll stop here, right? So Zubar now is going to explain that we have already a brisa that records machlokes tanoim about whether or not a hasra stam is sufficient, it's effective, or we need a hasra Misuyemis. Misuyemis means on that particular Mises presentation.
How can Rabbi Meir expect the average Joe A to be a bucky to know which kind of death?
The more we get into Aedus, David, the more your questions can become sharper and sharper and sharper. Next time you apply for being an aide, as a candidate, we're going to put you through a special course, a 6-month course of how to be an aide. It's unbelievable, the requirements of an aide. And it could be both Eidim have to give the Asra. We're going to get into that question. The Asra has to take place right before the action, and the Eidim have to know everything. You got to be a great scholar to be a witness. V'hai Tanahu, and this svara about whether or not we need a specific Hasra or not, that's going to be this Tana, the Tana of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to be the actual Bala Memra, who says that there has to be a specific Hasra on that particular Misa. We're going to identify, according to Abai, Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yehuda. The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Sha'ar kol chayve Misos Shabbat Torah, all the other Misos Shabbat Torah. Now, this Braisa is at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin in the 11th Perek of Sanhedrin, which is dedicated to the laws of Mesis. Mesis is an individual who tried to influence and lure the people of a city to worship idols, idolatry. The Mesis doesn't require Hasra at all. It's the only case, to best of my knowledge, where we put someone to death without a Hasra. So if you ever get a quiz question, when can we put a condemned criminal to death without a warning? The answer is going to be Mesis. It could be there's another case, and that's Edim Zomim, but we'll leave that Edim Zomim now. We're talking about Mesis. So the Braisa, after explaining that Mesis doesn't need a Hasra, goes on to say, "Usha'ar kol chayvei mises shabbatoy." However, the balance, all the other cases of capital crimes, ein mevisin osan ella bi'eda. Eda means 23 judges. Vi'eda means two witnesses. Ve'asra, and they have to give asra. Ve'ad sheyodiu shu chayav misa bebesin. What does that sound like to you? Until the Eidim notify him that he's Chayim Misa. Does that sound like specific or general?
General.
That's the Chacham. For Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheyodiu B'Eza Misa. Which of the four Misas, who Nerag, you'll be killed? And a general Asra is invalid. In basketball, we call it a technical foul, right? Or was that in basketball or football? I guess one of those sports. Anyway, this is a technical foul. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a technical foul. You got to know exactly which misa you're going to get. Chachamim, on the other hand, both the Chachamim of our Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin, who will require in this very case where there was no specific asura, it was a general asura, chayv misa, they require 23 judges. And the Chacham here of this Braisa of Yehuda that addresses the case of the issue of what is Asra, those two Chachamim belong together. Hainu Hach, it's the same Shita. And it's a big Chumra. Again, intuitively it makes sense, but in terms of, you know, condemning a person to death, this is a big Chumra. And therefore, in such a case where the witnesses gave a general, generic all-inclusive Hasra, the Chachamim say that Hasra is valid. Once the Bezdin of three hears that the Eidim would qualify, you know, they at least they passed that test and they gave a valid Hasra because they said that you're going to be Chayav Misa Bezdin, then we could go on to the next level and we have to introduce a Bezdin of Chav Gimel, which is called an Eda, and that Eda will have to judge the case. But if you all like Rabbi Meir, who is really, at this point in Abai, is identified with Rabbi Yehuda, the same Shita, that kind of Asra is not valid, then we drop the ball on the condemning her to death. It's not a capital crime, a capital case. Hence, three judges are enough, because all we can deal with is the Ksuba, and for that we need no more than three judges. But the Chacham required 23 because her life is on the line. Even though the Eidim did not tell her that she's going to get Skila, but they told her she'll get Mises Bezdin, and that's sufficient. Now, you know, there's a whole issue about what Hasra is. Let's assume, which is more balabatish, more intuitively, psychologically meaningful, that Hasra is meant to be a deterrent. You could argue, you know, since they're misos that are a little bit less, shall I say, harsh than getting thrown off a cliff. You know what I'm saying? Hereg. Okay, Hereg is not too. He's no misa is really a cinch, but you know what I'm saying. But you know, I get Hereg is like really instantaneous. You know, in Skila, by the way, it's not 100% sure that the person dies when he hits the ground. You might have to. It's a mess. You know, it's. I like to avoid thinking about these things. You know. And sometimes these thoughts creep into my head. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitcher used to call it fear of death. He felt it was part of the existential condition of man to be afraid of death. I don't think he meant what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the kind of death. You know, he was afraid of death in a more existential context. You know? Okay, so we've begun our research, our investigation to the laws of Edom and what the Edom have to do in order to qualify as a capital condemnation. And our first stop was Abaye, and that is Hasra. How specific does the Hasra have to be? Mm-hmm. Well, Papa Omar, we're still dealing with the issue of Hasra, and Rav Papa is going to raise the possibility that we might not even need a Hasra. And now we're going to take Hasra from a different perspective. Until now, we're talking about Hasra as a deterrent. Now we're going to talk about Hasra in terms of clarification. We have to clarify that the criminal is aware of the law. Maybe the criminal thinks that what they're doing is perfectly permissible. You know, you could have the level of ignorance could be mind-boggling. We're gonna learn this week's parasha is gonna be the parasha of Zimri. You know, parasha of Pinchas killing Zimri. So we're gonna find out that if you look deeper below the surface, that Zimri had a whole philosophy about why he was doing the right thing. So you can take an avera and make it into a mitzvah. But in any event, you know, people are ignorant. They don't know the law. I think in America, I think they have a phrase called "I plead the fifth" or something like that. Yeah, but so the purpose of Hasra now is to communicate to the criminal that what he or she is about to embark upon is in fact a criminal act. It's against the Torah. And then again, to add the punishment. So a Papa Amar, Hacha, what's the case of the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir? And honestly, I don't see any clue in the Mishnah that this is what they're arguing about, but that's what he said. The Isha Chavera Askinon. Now again, the word chavera sounds like a friend, but that's not what it means. Chaver, for those who are with me in Psachim, which we learned the previous, so it's a concept called a chaver. A chaver in Shas is someone who knows the law, who's absolutely a baki in the halachas. And if you take the word chaver and you conjugate it as a feminine word, it's chavera. So this woman, again, she's only 12 years old, but apparently she's very well educated, and she knows the Torah. She's a chavera. We have every reason to believe that she knows what what's going on here is a capital crime, and therefore, according to one school of thought, if the whole purpose of Hasra is to make sure that we're not dealing with the shogeg of someone who thinks it's mutter, what they're doing is they're permitted to do so, but it's to establish a mazid. Well, in this case, you don't need Hasra. The Kamithli, the Plukta, the Rabbi Yossi, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbana. And the Machlok is here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. So let's see if I can test you here without looking. If you can, which, in the Machlok between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, who's going to say that in the case of Chavera, if she's a Chavera, this Nara Amuros, that she doesn't need a Hasra and she'll be Chayav Misa without a Hasra? Is that Rabbi Meir or the Chacham? 50-50 chance that you get the right answer, but I'd be excited if you really got the right answer, not just by flipping a coin. Who's going to say that we can put her to death even though she didn't get a Hasra because she's a Chavera?
Maybe both of them would say it.
No, again, because here, Asher, wait, let me cut you off for just a second. Let's get the structure of the sugya. The structure of the sugya is the following. Do we have Edom or do we not have Edom? Meaning, is there a potential that this case could be judged as a capital condemnation? Rabbi Meir is going to say no, and the Chacham is going to say yes. Rabbi Meir is going to say three judges are enough. So when the Edom come in, we're going to already disqualify them, so to speak, from the get-go as far as... Again, I'm not saying the Edom might be relevant for monetary law, but as far as Dina Nefesh is concerned, to require 23 judgment, Meir is going to say these Edom are out. They just haven't qualified. So in this case, if I'm going to tell you that there's a machlokis whether or not a chaver needs Hasra or doesn't need Hasra, i.e., can we condemn her to death without Hasra based on the fact that she's a chavera, where are you going to put Rabbi Meir? And where are you going to put the Chacham? You're not with me? I thought I was clear, but you know.
Meir's still with the three.
What? But Meir says you need three, and the Chacham says you need 23. That means by definition, is Meir qualifying these Edom for condemnation? No. So it means that she needs a Hasra, despite the fact that she's a Chavera. The Chacham are going to say, no, the Edom are perfectly qualified. I didn't give Hasra. By their own mission, they didn't give Hasra. The answer is she's a Chavera, and a Chavera doesn't need Hasra. Right. So now we want to embark upon that investigation. Does a Chavera need Hasra or not? Tisani, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chaver ain't Tzarech Hasra. Why doesn't a Chaver need Hasra? Lefishlo nitna Hasra, El Havchim Bein Shogeg Lemezid. The thrust and the purpose of Hasra is to make sure that the criminal is aware of the law and is not going to claim Shogeg, I thought it was Mutter. The answer is, if we have a chaver who's a shtickel talmid chacham, or in the case of a female, we have a chavera, right? She's an MMY graduate, okay? So she knows the law, and such a scholar. How do you say scholar in feminine? Is this a scholarit or something? I'm just joking. Anyway, such a scholar doesn't need asra. That's according to Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda. And in this case, if we identify him with our chachamim, right, with our chachamim, then we're going to need a bezdin of 23 judges, because even if the edim admit, in this case of a chaver, they didn't give asra, that's okay, because chaver ain't a tzarech asra.
And
a
chaver would never do a bezdin.
Well, the edim saw her do a bezdin, you know what I'm saying? And she's going to claim, I thought it was mutter. What do you mean you thought it was mutter? You don't know what the law of an arusa is? I mean, she, you know, what's going on over here? And there was, by the way, a famous case, I don't know if you ever heard of it, where a man seduced a married woman by telling her that he's Mashiach or something, you know, he's a malach from this, and that you have to do this to bring the Mashiach. I mean, and the question was whether she's guilty or not. Did you ever hear that case?
Yeah,
it happened. You know, for people who are desperate, they'll come up with any kind of... In any event, this is the Shita Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim never accepted this Shita. The Chachamim say that Asra is to, shall we say, dissipate or dilute the passion of the moment, you know, by hey, stop dead in your tracks and realize for a moment what you're about to embark upon and what the repercussions. Even a Talmud Chacham, even a Chaver, or a Chaver in this case, needs that Asra. So again, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the purpose of Asra exhausts itself in lahavchin bein shogeg lemezid, to know the difference between someone who's saying it's mutter and someone who's not. That only applies to someone who's not a chaver. In the case of a chaver, we could do away with asra, completely circumvent the need for asra. That's the shita of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, but the chacham disagree. They hold that there's another purpose to asra, not only to establish a mezid, but to, you know, to sort of scare the living daylights, so give you a shake up and make sure that you take another moment to deliberate and reconsider what you're about to do. Again, you're in a moment of passion, but realize the repercussions here, and that's a very serious kind of thing, and that applies even to a chaver. So let's go over. Rabbi Meir, again, we're all in Rav Papa now. So according to Rav Papa, Rabbi Meir holds that even though she's a chavera, she needs asra. She needs asra. And since she didn't get asra, because the Eidim admitted that they didn't give asra, then there's no possibility of din nefashos. Hence, there's only a maximum adjudication of a monetary case. So three judges are sufficient. There are one on the other hand hold, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that chaver shared the whole purpose of asra is lav, convey shogun meis, that doesn't apply to a chaver. And therefore, these witnesses will qualify as witnesses. We have now here in front of us a capital case, and therefore we need 23 judges. So it's unbelievable, Rabbi said. Both Abaye and Rav Papa are reinterpreting our Mishnah. What I mean by reinterpreting our Mishnah, the machlokas here is not whether Motzi Shemra needs a bezdin of 3 or a bezdin of 23. The machlokas of Adini Asra. Is this a capital case or is it not? We have Adam in front of us, and we're investigating them and pressing them against the wall. Did you give a valid asra? And Rabbi Meir is going to say it's not a valid asra. And the Chachamim say it is a valid asra. Rabbi Meir is going to say, according to Abai, it's not a valid asra because you didn't mention skila, you just gave it general. And Rabbi Meir, according to Rav Papa, is going to be saying that she, even though she's a chavera and she's definitely amazing, but you still need asra. And the Chachamim, according to Abaye, are saying that in the case of a general asra, that's a valid asra. Hence, we have a dini nefashos case. And according to Rav Papa, they're saying that the case of a chaveras completely undermines and circumvents the need for asra. It's a whole new way of learning the Mishnah. You know, Abaye. I'm sorry, if we go back to Ula and Rava. Those gentlemen were understanding that it's a machlokas in how to organize a bezdin for motzi shemra. It's a motzi shemra issue. Well, do we see motzi shemra as potentially a Dina Nefashos, maybe the Edom will come in, Chashin Ulaz. Well, we started with 23 judges, and then we want to drop down to three, maybe Kodesh Shel Rishon. I mean, those are issues that come up within the context of Motzi Shemra. But now, we're dropping the ball on Motzi Shemra, and we're learning other prices. One is a Tosefta that deals with the case of Mises Bez, that you have to mention in Asra all the Mises. Another is a Brisa here in Sanhedrin that deals with the case of a Chaver, where the Chaver needs Asra, and I'm a Machlokas Tanoim. And basically, the subject of our Mishnah is not Motzi Shemra, it's Asra. Okay. Now we get to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi is also investigating the laws of Eidus. And we're going to find an issue in Eidus about which we have Machlok, Shin Rabbi Meir, and the Chachamim. Kigon, and here we're going to have to turn to Daf Tesom and Aleph. By the way, Daf Tesom and Aleph in Masechta Sanhedrin is like known in the yeshiva world. It's like the most challenging daf in the whole Masechta. Again, we're going to go through it simple. It's going to be like, you're going to tell me about a verse, and this is the easiest daf we've gotten to. But if you delve into it, the Eon, you could probably spend months on daf tes. There's a very famous, in Ksuvus also there's a daf tes, by the way. I don't know, tes seems to be a school for the world class sugis. The Asru Bola Malkus below Asru Bola Ketola. Okay, now let's go back to our Mishnah for a moment, just to refresh our memories. And if you're looking at Mishnah online, let's count down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right? I'm not counting the box, because we're not Chofetz Chaim, but okay. So if you go 6 lines down, you'll see it says Makos. Do you see that word Makos? So here's the Machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Shmon. The Tanakama says Makos Bishlosha. So if witnesses come in to testify that the person ate chazer and we gave masra, then we only need 3 judges in this case to condemn him for violating the isur of achilas macholas asuras, and we'll give him malchus. However, mishum Rabbi Shmuel amru bi esrim mushlosha. So basically, makos is not a monetary punishment; it's a corporeal punishment. You know, give a guy 39 flagellations for lashes. So that's a serious. So Rabbi Shmuel upgrades that to the status of the fashion. It's almost like we're taking part of his life away. What does that have to do with Motzi Shemra? So that's Rav Ashi's chiddush over here. Says Rav Ashi, the Asru Bela Malkus. Now, what happens in a case of a woman, or any case of a capital crime, where the Eidim, instead of giving a Hasra for Misa, they gave a Hasra for Malkus? Is that valid or not? It is valid, but only for Malkus. But what was the problem here? The problem here is, what kind of a Bezdin do I need in this case? When the Eidim come in, there are 3 judges. The judges interrogate them, what are you coming for? So they say, we're coming to testify about this woman, that she committed adultery. So immediately the judges, without taking a breath, they said, did you give him Asra? Did you give her Asra? Yeah, we gave her Asra. For what? For Malkus. We told her that if she engages in this terrible act, she's going to get 39 lashes. Alright, so let's give her 39 lashes. Depends. If you all like the Chachamim of Avishna Enochinami, we could give 39 lashes. All we need is a Bezin Shel Shlosha. But if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, what does Rabbi Shmuel say? 23. That lashes requires a Bezin of 23. So then we can't give Malkus now. We have to add another 20 judges to the court. Because Miflgi and Rabbi Meir and Chacham are arguing, Biplugta, in the Machlokas that's codified in our Mishnah, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbanon. This now we learned in our Mishnah, Makos, Bishlosha, according to the Tanakama. All you need is 3 judges to adjudicate a case of a criminal punishment. For Malkus, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Bi Esrim Ushlosha. It's a little bit odd here because the Mishnah records Machlokas Shin Rabbi Meir Chacham about Motzi Shema, which is really coming up down the pipeline in the Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel Chacham about Malkus. But that's what Rav Ashi is claiming, that the case of Motzi Shemra was just one example of many, many different possible examples of a Malkus situation, where the question is whether we need a Bezdin of 3, or we need a Bezdin of 23. Ravina Omar. Now we're really getting heavy into the laws of Avis. Rabosa, let me just ask you for a knee-jerk response. If you know the answer because you've studied Masech Demakis, please don't give me your answer, because then you know. But if you don't know and you've never thought of it before in halachic terms, maybe you never learned Malkus. So here's the question I want to ask you. Supposing, how many witnesses do we need? The minimum amount is?
Two.
Three of them come in. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you collected apples in a bag and it turns out that one apple got spoiled. What's going to happen to the other apples?
It gets spoiled too.
Yeah, that's a phrase. You remember the phrase? A bad apple spoils the bunch, how does it say? So what happens if out of these three witnesses, one of the three turns out to be an aid apostle? So again, if you know the answer, don't give it to me. But if you've never heard the answer, what would you say intuitively?
All three of them.
Yeah, you ruin all of them.
They're all kosher.
I would have said the two are kosher. Why? Because, all right, the Torah says I need two eidim. The third one is possible. So drop him. You know, what do I need him for? I didn't need him. I have two eidim without him. Imagine if you have 100 eidim and 101st eid is possible. I got 100 eidim. That's not good enough. So the Gemara in Makkos has a special drasha. This is Rabbi Akiva's famous drasha that the Torah went out of its way. It says, "Al pishnayim oshlosha eidim yakum dov." So the Tutzik Velt in the whole world wants to know, why did the Torah say "Al pishnayim oshlosha eidim"? Just if two are enough, then certainly three is enough. Why did you have to add oshlosha? And we're going to have many, many different answers to that question. One of which is going to be what I call the bad apple spoils the bunch. So you could have 100, you could have 1,000 witnesses. They're all mid-bud and payas, and they all answer all your chakiris and drishas, 1,000%. But one aid, 1,001 comes in, and he's puzzled, throw out the whole bunch. Or not. And that's going to be the machlokas Rabbi Meir Chacham, because initially when the Baal brought two witnesses, he brought three witnesses, I should say, to testify against his wife that she had this nus. So there was a bezdin of Shlosha, and they started investigating the Eidim and interrogating them. And lo and behold, they found that one of the three Eidim is apostle. He's her uncle. You know, I don't know, he's a car of apostle, whatever he is. So according to Rabbi Meir, we got to throw out the whole bunch. And if we throw out the whole bunch, then we can go ahead and judge this case only on Ksuba, and hence three judges are sufficient. And the Chacham say no. We'll ignore the eight apostle. We have two eight in the book, Sherim, and she'll be put to death. And therefore, we have to add to the, we have to beef up the court to a court of 23. This is Ravina. Ravina Omar, what's the case in the Mishnah Kagon? Now here I have a whole Hebrew to add here, so I'll read it to you. Kigon Shehevi Habal Shlosha Eidim Shezinsa. So how many Eidim were in this cot? Cot means a group. Three Eidim. Vinim Tzachim and Eidim Karov Apostle. So one out of the three turns out to be a Karov or Apostle. Okay. So let's say. Now, exactly what apostle is, I'm not sure. Let's say he's a Russia, he's a Gazlan. Somehow he's apostle. The Kamifligi Beplugta de Rabbi Yossi, the Rebbe Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who's going to darshan the extra words O Shlosha. And it's going to be a machlokes tanoim. What exactly did Rabbi Akiva derive from O Shlosha? So let's just read the pasuk first. The pasuk says, "Al pishnayim edim O Shlosha edim yuma sames." This is in Parashat Shoftim. So the Mishnah Masechta the Makis on Daf Hayom and Beis asks the following question: "Im is kayemis edus pishnayim is amay omer Shlosha? Why did the Torah to say Shlosha?" So the Tanakhama says that this is coming for a din of Hazom. Okay, this is before Rabbi Akiva. So let me just fill you in on the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says that we're talking about Hazom. So three witnesses come into Bezdin and they testify that such and such a criminal act occurred at such a place and at such a time. Now another two of them come in And they look at these three Edom, and they say to two out of the Edom, you were with us elsewhere at that time. You couldn't have been there. You claim you're in New York, you were in Chicago. That's when I was a kid, that's the way Chicago was always considered, like the other part of the world. And there were no Jews in LA at that time, so it was like New York and Chicago. Anyway, so that's Hazon. So they were Mazin two out of the three Edom. Comes along the Tanakhama in the Mishnah in Makkos, and the Torah says, "Oh Shlosha," to tell you that the two and the three are the same. We have halacha in Azom, and the Torah says, "Vasisim lo kashin zaman," that we're going to punish the Edom with whatever they wanted to give to the Nidon, but that only applies if we're mazim both of the Edom. What about a case where there are three Edom? Do we say actually Azumu Kulam that Azom is suspended until we're mazim all three Edom? And that's going to be the hekish between two and three. The Torah says, Shnayim o Shlosha, to teach you that just like with Shnayim, Achi Azum Kulam, the Azama has to be on both the Edom, so too in the case of three, the Azam. So let's say you imagine two and three Edom, according to the Tanakhama, in the Mishnah in Makkos, the halacha would be that we'll throw out the witnesses, but they don't get punished. There's no kasha zomim. Why? Because the Torah says Oshlosha, and they were only masim two out of the three, and Allah is Achi Azumuku. And that shita is identified, the Tanakhama, that Mishnah, as Rabbi Shimon, if you want to know. I mean, again, we're not going to study Rabbi Shimon here, but you should know. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and he says, you know what, Rabbi Shimon, the way you're interpreting this pasuk, there's a gevaldige kula here. There's a leniency, because until they were able to mazim all three witnesses, the witnesses are basically off the hook. You know, here's the Torah scares the living daylights out of the witnesses, because if you're lying, we're going to bring an Edom mazimim to establish that you're lying, and you're going to suffer the same punishment that you wanted to mete out to the Nidon. No. It's going to have to be Achi Azumu Kula. Do you imagine if a person is one of many, many Edom? He's very calm. He doesn't think Hazom is going to happen, because what are the chances that they'll imaze him all the Edom, you know, with all of you were elsewhere, unless it was big soiree, you know, it was the graduation party or something. You know what I'm saying? They were all together for graduation. I say that because we're in the month of June. Actually, we're in the month of July. Don't ask me a couch on that. But if we were in the month of June, yeah, we're all at the graduation party. So how could you be in Chicago to witness a crime when you were in New York at the graduation party? But that's rare, you know, to be mazim all the Edom. So therefore, it comes along Rabbi Akiva and he says, what are you doing? You're being makil, you're making it easier for the Edom? Lo ba kasu, lo ba shlishi, el hachmir olav. This is a warning to the third witness. Lasos dino keyotze bielu. That his law, his status will be the same as the other two Edom. What does it mean? Let's say Reuven testified, then Shimon testified, now Levi testifies. You might say the following, that if we're mazim all three of them, Levi has a good claim. I'm off the hook. What would be Levi's claim? You had two Edom anyway.
Yeah.
You didn't need me. So why should I suffer the kasher zomim halacha? So the Torah says, O Shlosha, don't think that you're going to get away with it. That's called a nitfal. Nitfal is miloshen tofel, tet pe lamed, which means you're a seconder. I'm just a nachshlep. I'm a tag on. You don't need me. I'm extra weight, extra baggage. You could have testified and accepted the testimony without me. Nay, says the Torah, lo bash lishi el lahachmir olav. Lasos dino kayotze bielu, that the shlishi has the same din, and he suffers the same jeopardy of hazama with the punishment of kashazama as the first two, and he'll get the same punishment. And now Rabbi Akiva darshins what we call an agadic statement. It's very rare that you find a halachic mishnah, and then all of a sudden, in the middle of the mishnah, it goes off on an agadic. This is a mishnah in the Sefer Makkos on Daf Hamid Beis. In Cain, says Rabbi Akiva, what moral principle should we derive from this halachic statement? Onash hakosuv es hanitval li'ovrei avera ke'ovrei avera. That the Torah is going to be as harsh as with a nitval as is for the real genuine makor. You know, as if the avera is causing this nidon to suffer a death in a capital punishment, a capital crime. You would think that the third witness, you know, that's really a nitval. You know, he's not really accomplished. Why should he suffer this punishment when he's not the one who really caused the Nidon to be condemned to death? The Nidon would have been condemned to death without him. Name, he's a nitval. Nitval means he attaches himself to the others. He attaches himself to the others. And what comes to my mind here is what we call in English a fence. You know what I mean by a fence?
Yeah, like,
you know, a person steals something, but what's he going to do with a stolen object? You know, he's got the facilities and stuff, the goods that he stole. But if he gets himself a fence, someone who's willing to buy it, I mean, assuming I'm talking about a guilty, deliberate case where the buyer knows that he's supporting the ganav, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's like a nitfal. That's what comes to my mind. Does anybody have anything else that maybe comes to your mind about a nitfal?
So it seems like, you know, the Adam have to see each other. Is that why he's got considered part of the Ada, that group?
Well, each Ada has to testify tokede dibra of the Ada that came before him.
But I thought the Adam have to one of the
see each other at the time of the crime?
At the time of the crime. And then we hold that.
That's for sure.
So he put himself. That's how Vada. He put himself in that cot by
Well, well, that gives him the potential of being part of the cot. He only becomes part of the cot with the Haggadah. If he's smart, then he'll stay home. Why? Because he's possible anyway. Or say it the other way around, because they have two Adam anyway. But he decides no. But again, you know, the case that we're dealing with, Usher, is a case where he didn't see a thing.
Right, I understand.
You know what I mean? He's being paid off. He's plagiarized.
I understand, so I was saying. But so for any, in case of three Adam, three genuine Adam, so the question is, from the third A, why should I go in? I mean, maybe I'll, you know.
Oh, so that's a good question. Does the third A have to go in? I mean, you have to know more about the mitzvah of Eidus, you know, Imlo Yagid Venos Avono, in other systems, you know, I don't know I don't know what this law is in secular governments where they can force you to give testimony. And in Halacha, if you have testimony, then you have to give the testimony.
So I'll oversimplify.
Yeah.
Three guys, and they decide to go rob the 7-Eleven.
Right.
Two of them go and rob the 7-Eleven, the other one stands outside.
Right, excellent. That would be a nitfal over avera. Why? Because he's strengthening the power of the criminals. So, you know, the two witnesses who were paid off, they now have a third accomplice to the crime. I think that's a good word here. I was looking for a good word in English for nitfal. It all of a sudden pops into my brain. That's the way my brain works. It takes a little time. I think an accomplice to the crime would be good. Accomplice in the sense that he's nitfal, Miloshen Tofel, he's secondary. The crime could have theoretically been committed without him. Now, you might think that the purpose of Rabbi Akiva's drasha here is to scare the living daylights out of someone who's an accomplice to the crime. And that's probably true as well, but that's not really the main thrust of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was more of a, you know, of a lover of Jews, you know, so he wasn't that harsh kind of Musar Zogger. But what he wants to say is, flip it around with a Kal V'chomer, Allah has kama v'kama, she is shalim sachar, as a nitfal yosim mitzvah, ke'osim mitzvah. If someone is an accomplice to a mitzvah, how much more so will he get schar? Because punishment is always lesser than its parallel in schar, in reward, which we're going to study in Ritzem tomorrow. So if I can borrow your pencil, I'd just make a note of where we got to. But Rabosa, you're getting the flavor of the sugya. The structure of the sugya is to come up with as many creative possibilities as to what Rabbi Meir and Chacham are arguing about, whether Motzi Shemra needs, you know, needs three judges, needs to 23, or it's enough to have three judges. So we're really investigating all of Hilchas Eidus. It's
if the
like
Baal would have three,
Hasra
and
Eidus.
If the Baal would have three Eidus, would you need three Eidus to sell
them? No. Two Eidus could be
Mazim,
1,000 Eidus. But they have to be Mazim all 1,000. And that was Rabbi Shimon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a cooler. Rabbi Kiva wanted to add a chumrah. That the mitfal is going to suffer, you know, you have 108 and two testified, another 98 are waiting online. on the queue. I don't know how you say it in British. In the queue, and they'll all suffer the same punishment. Kasha Zoma. Okay. So Rav Osei Mitzvah Hashem will continue with this sugya tomorrow, and we'll have on Tuesday or Wednesday, if that works out, an Ian Shear in Sanhedrin at 10:30. Okay, then. All right.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yes, thank you.